I'm wrestling, do not weep for me. Celebrate what I am. Celebrate what I have been. Celebrate what I represent. And celebrate the many ways I have impacted your life. I will survive this test as I have survived others. I am forever etched into the very fiber of all mankind. The world needs me. Time is on my side. History guarantees me. I am wrestling. Do not wait for me.
What's up, everyone? You listen to episode number 103 of the T-Row and Funky Show, brought to you, as always, by Defend Soap, Defend What You Have Built, and Dahlmer Mats. And Tommy, last time we covered the NCAAs through 157 pounds, and we apologize to our fans for not doing it in a more timely fashion. And next year, we have decided, in fact, that we'll be covering the NCAAs live from Pittsburgh. You still good with that?
I'm still good with it, my brother. And I'm also sorry, I had a few people text me, why didn't you guys just go for 2 hours straight? It's like...
We were done. Both of us were done.
I don't know that I have the mental stamina to do that. And also, I didn't think people were willing to listen for 2 hours. So I guess I learned a little bit from those texts. And I guess we'll have to look into that next time we need to go extra.
Well, I think we always could have split, you know, if we do a two-hour episode sometime... We could, cut it into, like, and release it maybe one day after. You know, release, like, say, one on a Thursday,
right,
and one on a Friday or something. That might actually be kind of convenient for us. But for those of you who don't know, we usually tape this kind of late at night. Tommy works a lot. I kind of got some stuff going on. I could film it during the day, but my man Tommy's
taking care of business. We would be dangerous, Ben, if we did this for a living. We would be dangerous.
We would be dangerous. That is a fact. That would be fun, but I just don't know that's realistic at this point in time.
I think it'd be pretty difficult to monetize a podcast and make a living like we make now. So, that's kind of out.
Most definitely. Most definitely. So we're going to pick up 165 pounds. So for those of you, again, this is not live, so we are taping on Monday, March 26th. Chris Bono was just named Wisconsin head coach, and Tommy, we talked about that for a minute before we started recording. You know, I'm kind of sad I didn't get the job, but I'm happy they chose Chris Bono. I think he's going to do a fantastic job. How do you feel about the hire, being a non-Wisconsinite?
Yeah, I mean, Ben, you're a pretty practical guy. I tend to agree. I feel the same way you feel. I was disappointed that they didn't pick you. I thought that, I mean, let's be candid here. There are some risk factors associated with hiring you because you weren't in college wrestling and stuff, and I was hoping...
Well, I don't believe so, but I could see how they would think that.
That's a better way of putting it. On paper.
Yeah.
No different than hiring someone who's never been a head coach. You've heard that before in other jobs. And so, on paper, you know, they took the fastball down the middle, but I think that it's a good fastball. I think Chris Bono has done a great job. And like most great leaders, he's built – he made what was perceived as nothing, turned it into something, and he created another viable opportunity for both wrestlers and coaches at South Dakota State that didn't exist prior to his arrival. And so I thought it was a good choice, Ben. I thought you would have been an excellent choice. I thought it would have been a lot of fun for the national wrestling community to follow all that. But certainly nothing but good things to say about Chris Bono. They're almost like the choice they made and who they chose and why they didn't choose you. It's almost like they're two independent conversations separate from each other. And I feel good about the Bono choice, but when it comes to you, I thought it would have been a lot of fun. I thought it would have been a great decision. So that's kind of my take.
Yeah, either way, it should energize the Wisconsin wrestling community. I haven't even announced to our guys, but I set up a little clinic with the two new Badgers coaches, Reeder and Bono, and then one of the Badgers wrestlers. That'll be at our academy in May, so that's exciting. You know, we're getting right in the swing of things, no problem. One thing that...
So Ben, I do want to talk about this a little bit more since you're now an unbiased party because the decision's been made. What do you think Chris Bono needs to do to... not take Wisconsin to a national championship.
Sure. Why not?
But just to show an identifiable change in what's going on, what would you be doing your first year there?
Well, I think first, so I don't know, year one, you know, I guess I'll just talk concepts. I think a really important thing is to recruit the in-state kids, and that's something Barry didn't do with frequency. You know what he would do? It was kind of in waves. He would get killed because he missed a bunch of kids. Then he would feel like he had to get the next batch of kids, whether they were good or not, you know, and then miss on the next bunch because, you know what I'm saying? It was almost cyclical. And so, I think if you look at any of the good wrestling programs, they don't use exclusively in-state guys, but you can't name an elite college wrestling program that doesn't get most of the in-state kids, you know?
Yeah, that's, you look at Tom Ryan, he's recruiting in a state that he just can't get everybody. And I always tell this to people, he can't get them all, but he gets who he wants.
Yeah.
And that's a big difference.
Exactly. And then especially a state like, if you pick Ohio and Penn State, that's challenging because you're putting out more good kids than your roster can hold and that a lineup can fit. So obviously some of them are going to other places. But if you look at, like, for example, Oklahoma kids don't really leave Oklahoma. Iowa kids very rarely leave Iowa. Minnesota kids don't leave Minnesota that often, you know? And so if we go through the better programs like that, I mean, you know, like, Penn State's a great example because Penn State wasn't that good and they weren't keeping a lot of their better guys home. And then all of a sudden they get a good program. Most of their better guys stay home. And I think, you know, Cornell will be the same thing. Like, they get a lot of New York guys. And they didn't before, they weren't good. And, you know, now I think you're seeing that with Rutgers. When Rutgers wasn't good, they weren't getting very good talent. The talent was leaving the state. Now they're keeping it home. And so I think that's huge. And I think that does something for the excitement level. I think it does something for the culture. I think it provides this this kind of, I don't know, intrinsic motivation for little kids watching the event going, that kid went to my high school, that kid was at the next high school over, I want to be the next that guy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
As opposed to they came.
No, I think I've watched it transpire over the years at Ohio State, so I can say that certifiably that, you know, you need that in-state group kind of embedded in the fabric of your culture to build out your program the right way. Ironically, that culture to me is what helps you get the blue chip out of state kids.
Absolutely.
They see the camaraderie that's generated from that, and they want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, and so kind of funny how that works, but I really believe that to be true.
No, it absolutely is. You know, and then one thing that Bono has done at South Dakota State that's a must, and you know, again, if you go across all great programs, yes, is they develop their kids. And, you know, Missouri was one of the fantastic programs doing this. You know who's doing it great right now is North Carolina State. And it's because those programs who are up and coming or whatever you want to say, they're not going to get all of the best recruits, so they're going to have to do development. I mean, Mike Machiavello won a national title. He was not a very, very sought-after recruit out of high school. And you saw Bono do that with a bunch of kids in South Dakota State, and that's something he's going to have to do. He's going to take some guys who are on Wisconsin roster right now that maybe they're NCAA qualifier-ish or somewhere around there, and he's going to have to put them in the All-American round or get them All-Americans.
And here's what's cool about Wisconsin is we're talking about a Big Ten campus, a beautiful campus, I might add, a good education, 9.9 scholarships, full funding for a staff. I mean, they're not on the upper end of the Big Ten in terms of funding, but the infrastructure is there much
no,
more
it's,
so
it's
than
there.
The state.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah. And you would think that Bono's going to do some damage.
Yeah. I mean, you would say maybe not on the upper echelon of funding as a Penn State or an Iowa, but if we're going to look at all 80 programs nationwide, man, they got to be in the top 15%. I mean, at worst, top 20%, I would say.
Right.
So yeah, they're definitely up there.
Yep, that's fair.
Yeah, so I think you start with those two. You start with the in-state recruits. You obviously, you know, bring in a few blue chippers, hopefully, and you start developing the kids. And if you do those two things, you're gonna, you know, the third thing you're gonna build, which is a must, is you're gonna build excitement around the program. You're gonna get more asses in the seats. And when the administration starts seeing that, they're gonna get more excited about it, and they're gonna push you more. And you know, you start doing those things really well, and it's going to create this cycle where everything is getting better and better and better all around.
No doubt. I'm with you, brother.
Yeah, so I think you can do a good job. You know, I think Michigan's position's open. Obviously, I think we're going to see Sean Bormett take that one. I don't want to say it's like done deal, but man, it's got to be close to a done deal, wouldn't you say?
I would be floored, disappointed, mad, angry at the world if that didn't happen. So, yeah, I think it's a done deal.
Cool. And then so, you know, the other big news that we obviously we're gonna get in the NCAA tournament here, but we haven't talked about is that Eastern Michigan dropped their program. I don't know, do you want to debate this, discuss this? What do you want to do?
You know, I mean, I don't think we're going to go through the weight classes as slowly as we did last time because the I don't know, we're not as enthusiastic about the five weight classes, so we can spend a little time on it. I'm disappointed in the decision, but you know, the good news is we got a Division I program being added at Little Rock, Arkansas, so that's good. And we talked about
And
this a
so
little
we
bit in
had
our
two
last
this year because we
podcast.
also had Presbyterian.
That's right. So I think we're good. I think we can move on from that and
Okay.
cut in the end.
Nice. Okay. Well, let's get going then. 165 pounds. Well, I can't remember. We were on odds and evens. You want me to start or you want to start?
I don't even know.
I
Go
don't.
ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, I think obviously Vincenzo beats Imar for the second year straight in the finals. And, you know what it makes me realize, and this is like on a we're talking on a very, very, very high level because Imar is, you know, one of what 16 ever four-time finalists, one of the best to ever do it. But man, when he can't get his underhook offense going, he struggles, Tommy. I mean, in the second, third period when he couldn't get the underhook offense going, he doesn't have another real go-to. And I remember Jimmy Kennedy really shut him down at the New York Athletic Club a couple of years back, and that just like it just it's such a sight to see that kind of further
Yeah.
perpetuates what I tell my kids is you got to have more stuff to go to, you got to have another. What if they shut you down? You got to be able to go to the next thing, and this is that
Right.
on a very, very, very high level. But that's what I see out of this match. Do you agree or?
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty microscopic criticism, but I would agree. I think that more than Imar getting shut down, though, Ben, I think he was mentally shut down. I don't think he wanted to commit. I feel like he wouldn't have been inside tripped had he wrestled from the underhook the way he wrestles other people, but he was kind of psyched out,
But
I think.
you think so? I mean, he just beat the guy 2 weeks ago.
I know.
I mean, you
So
know,
here's
he
what's
kind of
funny.
controlled pace. I don't know if it's maybe it's Vincenzo turning it up when it's the bigger matches. Maybe that's what it is.
You know what I was thinking of just now is, you know how we kind of had a fun way of making fun of Chenzo standing straight up like King Musabi when someone underhooks him.
Yes.
Well, if he was doing that before he beat Imar again with an inside trip, he
Oh my God.
sure as hell going to do it the next 2 years. So we got to watch that for 2 more years where he just stands up in there and
Well,
says, "Do it."
but the thing is, Tommy, he's not that much better than everybody. I mean, we're talking, he had it wasn't even sudden victory, it was tiebreaker in round two against Isaiah White, you know? So it's not like
I know.
he's coasting through this tournament without being pushed. So no, I'm sorry. Well, it was sudden victory. Oh no, it wasn't sudden victory. Yeah, it was sudden victory two. He beat Isaiah White 4-2, and that was the quarters, not the second round. But he only beat Branson Ashworth 3-1 in round two, and then he wins 3-1 against McFadden. So it's not like he's blowing people out of the water. It's not like he's Nolfing them or Rutherfording them or I don't know. Yeah, I mean
That's
I
exactly right. That's
and if
exactly right.
he's going into next year, obviously he's the favorite. But it's like. Is he a favorite? Like Nolf's the favorite? No, not in my opinion, not at all.
No. The answer to that is no.
No, yeah. So he lost two matches this year. Nolf and Rutherford just don't lose. So let's see. Other takeaways from this bracket. This is actually one of my favorite brackets, Tommy. And there. You said we're going to talk that long in each bracket, but there's a lot of takeaways here. You know, one of the seeding things that we talked about played out. So Evan Wick beats, he's the 10. He beats Logan Massa second round. 9-6. Logan Massa doesn't place, which to me, like, if you told me at the beginning of the season, I would say, well, was he hurt? What's wrong with him? But he lost in the round of, where the hell is he at in the WrestleBacks here? He lost to Chandler Rogers, who also got upset. He had three more matches to win before he All-American.
I know.
Dang.
We had our boy Chance Marsteller. Was it 65? He's a 65.
Yeah, Chance came all the way back. Chance lost to Isaiah in the quarter. He came all the way back to fourth. Evan Wick went on a hell of a run. He lost to McFadden in the quarters, and then he beat he pinned Wanzek, beat John J. Chavez, majored Alex Marinelli 16-3, and then pinned Chance Marsteller. I mean, that's a hell of a run right there.
It is.
So
it is. I was happy for Marsteller. He's had quite a unique story.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, the other thing is Marinelli did his second semi-slide. He makes the quarter. I'm sorry, he makes the semis. He loses to Martinez. He loses to Wick, and he loses to McFadden three in a row to and then he did the exact same thing at Big Tens.
Still a heck of a freshman year.
But yeah, obviously a rough way to end, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
That's it. I guess that's it for me. I was really shocked that Massa finished so poorly. And I guess so you're going next year, going into next year, I think almost all of these guys are back, right? I mean, obviously, Imar graduates.
Right.
Chenzo's back, Wick's back, Marsteller's back, McFadden's back, Marinelli's back, Chavez is back, Rogers is back. So yeah, almost everyone here is back. This is going to be a tough weight class again next year.
Right, no doubt.
And then you're thinking the same thing at 174. And I was thinking, Tommy, the crazy thing about this weight class is that number 1, 2, and 3 are all sophomores, and as freshmen, they finished 1, 3, and 4.
It's a heck of a group, dude.
Isn't that crazy? So if they stay in the same weight class again, what if they finished 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3? Well, that's probably never been done before, has it?
There's no way. I mean,
I couldn't imagine.
I wonder how many times 1, 2, 3 has happened 2 years in a row.
Well, so it hasn't happened yet. Because it was 1-2, it was 1-3-4 last year. Remember, Bojo right. Made the finals.
Yep.
But it definitely could. I mean, so Cam. Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting what Dan Amin brothers is. It's not Malik. It's not Cam. It's Miles. Miles Amin beat Daniel Lewis in a third place match. And then so obviously we got Valencia and Hall in the finals. Were you surprised how easily Valencia beat him?
How easily? Who beat who?
Zahid beat Mark.
I think I was surprised. It's an interesting opinion. I was surprised how bad he beat him, but I do think he's that much better. It's just I thought with the pressure of the match, he would clam up a little bit and kind of be a little more conservative, but I just think he's a better wrestler. I think he's got more of an ability to dictate what happens out there. I think Mark Hall showed that he's not that much of a comeback wrestler. Not because he doesn't have the personal pride to do it. It's more of just stylistically, he has a harder time. And you and I talked about this after the All-Star meet. He has a much harder time going and getting points and creating his own action.
Yes.
He's very good at wrestling from his opponent's action.
Yes, he doesn't have a super reliable offense against the very best guys.
Right.
So.
And we're getting microscopic there too on the team.
But we got to, right? We're at the freaking NCAA tournament right now, so we got to be discerning. We got to be picky on what we want to see out of these guys.
Yep.
Were you worried?
How about that scramble? If you want to call it that.
That was fantastic. Fantastic.
Incredible.
I mean, honestly, from a technical perspective, Tommy, this whole match was fantastic. I mean, Mark has great scrambling ability. Zahid was matching him step for step. And Zahid was also showing no fear. He was just shooting in. It wasn't like, and I hate when guys do this, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I have to wait for the perfect shot because he's a good scrambler.
Of about.
He just said, I'm going to keep on shooting.
Little things too that people either appreciate or don't, but Mark Hall has incredible super duck to his left, his opponent's right underarm. And when the Heat had the lead, you saw Mark hit a couple of them. I think it was two of them. And it was just like no dice because the Heat, being the wrestler that he is, I just think he's dreamt about this match for a long time, and he just knew what to be ready for when he had the lead that he was planning to have in the closing moments of the match, and just, there was nothing doing there.
Yeah, absolutely. He you know, he wasn't overpressuring the situation, so he gave himself away. Tommy, I can't really see either of these guys going anywhere the next couple of years.
I will say I would agree, but I will tell you that I think Miles Amin is drastically improved from last year and throughout this year. And so if he continues to improve on that trajectory, I can see him. And he already gave Mark Hall a good one this year. And,
yeah, that's true.
And he had a good one with the Heat. So, I mean, I could see it getting interesting these next 2 years.
Yeah, well, what do you think about, Miles had the first two takedowns on Zahid and was looking really
That's
good.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
And Zahid just didn't, he didn't panic. He just kept chipping away, and, he got to his offense eventually. But, yeah, I could absolutely see Miles, giving Zahid and, I see more with Mark Hall. Him and Mark Hall wrestled a couple of really close matches this year, giving him trouble. 100%.
Yeah. We're splitting hairs here. But, I still got the Heat Mark 1 and 2 the next 2 years. Do you think either one of them will go up?
That's what I can't. I was saying I can't see either one of them going up. I thought Zahid and Anthony were both big for their weights, and I thought maybe that was part of the issue with Anthony's struggles. We didn't even mention him at 165 because, frankly, he was kind of a non-factor. And when you consider the fact that he was the better high school Valencia, it's kind of puzzling. You see one guy who's developed into, he's probably the third best collegiate wrestler, fourth best collegiate wrestler. We're talking folk style only, obviously. He's really high up there.
Right.
And, you have his brother who he hasn't came close to All-Americaning, and it's been 2 years now. And like I said, he was better in high school, so he's really struggling. And so you think maybe weight cutting is a part of the issue, but I've been told that it's definitely not the case.
Right.
So, no, I don't.
Yeah, it's a little.
Go ahead.
Bizarre there. How about the pedigree that St. John Bosco's produced with the two Valencias and Pico?
Yeah,
there's another St. John. Good.
Well, right. I think they just started getting good. I don't know. They started. I don't know if it's kids started transferring there, or there was a new coach, or I don't know exactly what the story was. But they have quite a few really good high level kids coming through right now, who will probably be making some noise. I don't know. The Wicks weren't in St. John Bosco, I don't believe. They're the same type of club, though. They're right around that same area, but I don't think they went to Don Bosco. Makes sense. Daniel Lewis takes fourth place. I thought he was going to give Mark Hall a better match. Unfortunately, he did not. Bo Jordan finishes in fifth place, four-time All-American. Anything else you want to hit at this weight or no?
No, I think it was, it was about those two, and then, credit to Miles Amin. Lewis, who was on fire in the beginning of the year. Yeah, I thought he was going to give Hall a better match, but it was a good weight class.
Yeah. Okay. So then we got Mr. Stick His Butt in the Air and Get Flipped Over, Miles Martin.
Come on, dude.
Man.
God.
Why? That's what it is.
Oh,
I just watched the clip.
I don't even know.
I've seen the clip
like
15 times now.
Dude, did you see how Bo Nickel let go and then re-engaged back?
Yes.
So I got the question for you, Mr. Scramble Man. Did he do that on purpose, or was he just wrestling?
I cannot tell you that with any certainty. I think Bo commented that it was all part of his plan, but then again, he might be trying to sound smarter than he really. You know, he might be trying to make himself sound smarter than he really is.
So, what do you think? What do you think?
I think no. I would say no. It wasn't planned. That's what I would say.
I don't think.
I think original plan was, hey, I'm going to put him in this freaking high flyer. I'm going to flip him over and put him on his back, and then I think it doesn't work. And he goes, oh crap, I got to get off my back. And he turns, and he can't get off his back. So he goes, well, shit, I'm going to give up the 4 points anyways right now. Might as well freaking go for it. I think that's probably what he thinks.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think he's like, oh gosh, I can't belly out. I'll go back and give this another heave-ho. And it worked.
Yeah, because you watch him. He turns the one way, and he doesn't get off his back.
Right.
And so by that point, he's dead. They had not counted a four yet, but you got to think by the time he comes. So, you know, if he turns into him and tries to go to his belly, he's not going to get to his belly. And right. So by that point, he's definitely going to give up all 4 points if he just tries turning that way. You know, if he's got to keep wiggling off his back, he's definitely giving up the 4 back points. So I think at that point, he makes a calculated decision like, well, if I'm going to give up the 4 back points, I'm going to give this one more go. And he freaking digs in and tries to throw it over again. And nails
it. Gosh. And Miles should have let him belly out.
Stop getting greedy, Miles. Give the man his belly out.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I mean, Ben, for 2 seconds, I thought we were the national champions.
For 2 seconds,
for the two
I
count.
Thought we were the national champions. Yeah,
and then,
I mean,
then
sure.
2 seconds That's later, fair. We were not.
Yeah.
So
no, that is
that's all I got to say about that. Hey, yeah. I want to. I mean, obviously, Bo Nickel, Miles Martin was wrestling great that whole match, but Bo Nickel has shown a lot of people very early on how good he was. But I guess I never really. This sounds terrible, but I never really realized. His ability to adapt and develop. I never knew how much he developed until I watched him wrestle Miles Martin this year. He's developed some leg attacks and what have you that, you know, he's continuing to get better. So
absolutely. No, he's definitely continuing to get better. Absolutely.
As good as he – yeah, and I just thought he was doing the same old thing and getting a little bit better at that. But I see him developing new skills and new ways to look at the sport. So you got to give the guy a lot of credit, which he deserves. I will say that I think Miles Martin, Ben,
mm-hmm.
has improved. I think he's improved a lot. You look.
No, they both have. You know, I always tell that story. You know, I really, it always happens. Our club kids every, like, August, September, October, when we compete at Fargo, and then we don't compete again for, like, 3 to 4 months. And they're all getting better, but they can't see it because all the. It's like if two ships are moving, they look like they didn't go anywhere because they're still right next to each other, you know?
Right.
And there's no other point of reference. There's no other point of reference for them, so they're all in this room getting way better, but they're still. A's losing to B just like he lost against A and B 3 months ago. And I always tell the story that happened to me my freshman year of college. You know, same thing. I went in, get my ass kicked. 3 months later, I'm still getting my butt kicked, and I was like, shit, I'm not getting any better. This is terrible. And I had to go home for Christmas break, and I wrestled with my high school coach, and the results from when I had left to when I had got back were so different. I mean, just not even in the same ballpark that I was like, oh, my God, I did get better. Seriously. But Tommy, they've both gotten better, but the hard part for Miles is – he's only going to get judged how he does against Bo, and that's it. That's really it.
You know I'm a Buckeye homer, but I'll tell you, I'm a bigger Miles Martin homer than I am a Buckeye homer.
But Tommy, it's like me against Pendleton. I mean, I remember saying this at the time. Man, it's like that's my measuring stick. You have it against Mako. If you beat Mako, it's your good. And if you lose to him, it's bad, regardless of how good or bad you are.
I know.
It's a measuring stick.
I know, man.
And so
I want to talk to Miles. I got to find him here sometime in Columbus. But it's like, you know, he's 2-7 against Bo Nickel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 2-7 or 2-6 against my worst ever record against Mako. I got to as bad as 2-6 or 2-7, and then it got and it we retired at like 8-9, I think, is what we finished at.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, you guys are battling for so long, and your careers are so long, that you can't look at what has happened. Every season's a new season, and even every match is a new match. And in a lot of ways, the way he wrestled in the national finals, it's like, Miles, really, there's nothing different you need to do other than settle your hips. Because you
well, we don't know. Okay, we don't know how the rest of that match is going to go. So,
well, it would have been 4-0. Let's just say
it would have been 4-0, but he also, you know, he didn't, Tommy, for in all fairness. And I know you're the Buckeye homer, so I got to be, you know, sense the reason here. He didn't really come close to him in the duel or at Big 12. Or, I'm sorry, Big 12s, Big 10s.
I know. Listen, I'm smart enough to know when I can't step outside of myself and look at things reasonably. But I'm telling you right now, if Miles Martin were to shake hands with Bo Nickel again and they were to scrap, I'm picking Miles Martin.
Well, I picked Miles Martin in the duel this year, so I'm not too far away from you. But in all fairness, he beat him. He beat him at the duel in the Big Tens. That's fair.
When he walks on the mat, I'm like, he ain't losing. He's not going to lose. He's not losing. And then he loses. It sucks for me, dude.
Yeah. I mean, but you're right. That is the whether we like it or not, whether he's getting better or not, the what he's quantified against is how he does against Bo Nickel. I mean, that's just how it is. Like it or love it. Like, I mean, love it or hate it. That's how it's going to be. That's how I was with Pendleton. That's how you were with Mako. And it's a freaking moving target. It's not like, and Tommy, I can't tell you how many times I think I said, well, this is what I need to do to beat Chris Pendleton. And I freaking worked my ass off at it. And then all of a sudden, he changes. He also changes something. You know, like the one time, he never, ever rode me, Tommy. And the one time I lost to him, like I lost 4-3 on a riding time point in Stillwater, he rode me for like 3 minutes. And so I had fixed all the other deficiencies I had, and then he chooses to ride me. It's like, what the freak? I didn't know this was part of the damn deal.
Yeah, I know. You know what? And here's the deal. Heavy is the crown to he who wears it. So it's like, you want to be the man, you got to beat the man. It's tough sledding, but that's, you're trying to do some pretty special things, and that's just the way it is, my brother. And
that's just the way it is. Isn't that a song?
That, right? What's that?
That's a song of some sort.
I was just sounding really poetic there. I mean, I don't think that there's anything other than that.
No, I think there's a song. That's just the way it is. What song is that? I don't remember. I'm a terrible singer. You guys don't want to hear me sing. hey, so we actually, I believe we were either texting about this, Tommy, or we were talking on the phone, but what are the chances that Miles Martin redshirts next year? Because he has a red shirt, Bo does not have a red shirt, so he could redshirt, take the year off, let Bo get out of there, and
I don't know, dude.
I would
redshirt them all.
So we're talking about, did we talk about this on the podcast last time?
We did. It's all a blur, but I remember having this conversation with you. I can't remember if it's on the podcast or personally, but.
Damn it all, that's tricky. Because now we don't know. We could be talking about things that our audience has no reference on because it was just me and you on the phone. Or else they're getting freaking bored because we're talking about the same crap we talked about last week.
Yeah,
well, I think we're screwed either way.
Anyways, I would do it.
Okay,
I would also. I'd redshirt them all. Redshirt them all.
Okay, and all we're talking about the Ohio State team punting next year.
Fletcher, McKenna, Martin.
Yes.
Whoever else. Anybody that can redshirt, you're redshirting.
Yes. Okay, so I like that a lot. I agree. Hey, let's give a quick shout-out to Mr. Emory Parker. There aren't a lot of people who've done this. Loses first round and wins 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row to take third place. You know who else did this, Tommy, their freshman year?
J.D. Berg.
Ah, how'd you know that?
because I was his freaking teammate when he did it, bro.
Were you his teammate or were you his coach? You were a senior, probably.
You want to hear a funny story about J.D. Bergman? He's going to like this.
Yeah.
He maybe won't like it, but... So I'm a senior. J.D.'s a true freshman. I'm a fifth-year senior. I'm seated number one. I've got a lot of experience under my belt. And he loses in the first round to B.J. Padden in overtime, who's like the fourth or fifth seed. And I'm like, and I knew J.D. was wrestling well. I certainly didn't predict that he was going to get third, but I knew he was capable. I said, hey, man, you can do this. You can come back and get third. I know it's a long road, but you can do it. And he gives me this blank stare. He goes, yeah, I know I can. I did it at Tournament of Champions once.
That is too funny.
And I remember thinking in my mind, I'm like, man, the naivete of a true freshman just told me he can go to the wrestling tournament as a true freshman because he did it at the Tournament of Champions when he was a kid. And I'm like, yeah, you go, boy. You can do this.
That's
and he
so
did
classic.
It.
That is so classic. Oh, my God. No, they do hold that tournament champions in pretty high esteem in Ohio, don't they?
Yeah. It's the largest one-day tournament for wrestling in the world.
Isn't it just a takedown tournament or something?
I don't even remember, Ben.
Okay.
But it's – I think it is. But I think that's only because of time. Because it's neutral restarts as well.
Oh.
So it's not about Ohio valuing on your feet more. It's about to get through the matches quicker in one day. You could argue why that's good or bad, but it's not, I think mat wrestling is dumb, if that makes sense.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. 197 pounds. Tommy, I might have to go get my computer charger in a minute. So if I do, you're going to have to entertain the audience for about 30 seconds.
All right.
Tell me another J.D. Bergman story. I don't know, but let's have 197.
Yeah, I gotta share a story about my son to the.
Okay. Well, you share it, and I'm gonna get my computer charger.
It's relating to mat wrestling, in the state of Ohio. You know, Ohio gets criticized a lot, and I believe, rightfully so, for the lack of emphasis and lack of skill, on bottom and on top. And so, my son, who's only 8. I just really want him to be good in both positions. For an eight-year-old, he's pretty good in both positions, but he wrestled in the state tournament this weekend, and I'm thinking to myself, my son's into wrestling. He wrestled the state tournament. I decided that, because I make him choose down every time, no matter what.
I think it's a terrible idea, but we've discussed this before.
Yeah, so at the state tournament, because he's pretty into it, he really is focused on doing some things as an eight-year-old, as much as he can be. So I said, Tommy, I'm going to let you decide for this tournament and this tournament, and you can decide whenever you want, whatever you want to do, and then we'll go back to choosing down every time. And I let him decide, and every time he chose down, which I was proud of him for that. So, anyways,
did it work out or no?
If he did get ridden, Ben, it wasn't like in a bad fashion. He would get to his feet like every 5 seconds, but he hasn't learned how to peel and cut the hand, so
yeah,
he'd get lifted and returned a little bit more than he should. But, like, he wrestled hard and well on bottom for age 8.
Sure.
Even though he might have got ridden a time or two for a period.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you know, we don't need to talk about this point because we got to finish this show. Maybe next time we can pick it up and discuss.
I think we should do our youth wrestling topics in the off season because we're struggling for content.
Yeah,
people actually love it when we do that. So let's just save it when there's no current event.
Okay, cool. So 197 pounds, Michael Machiavelli is the winner. I think the biggest story we talked about him last week. Kyle Connell beating Colin Moore not once but twice, potentially. Potentially, Colin Moore could be the spoil of Ohio because I do believe if Colin Moore would have won the tournament, he would have scored 8 more points. I can confirm that for you right now. Let me just figure that out. But anyway,
I think we lost by more than 8, didn't we?
No, it was 8 points.
Oh.
Yeah, because if Miles Martin wins, you guys win.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, Colin Moore scores 13.5 points. So, yeah, minimum if he wins is 21 with no bonus. But he did get a decision, and he got a major, so minimum 22. So Tommy, if he wins the tournament, even without any more bonus, you guys do in fact win.
What's his name? Hayes wins in the quarters.
Yeah,
and
you
six.
Okay, let me see. I did not calculate that one out. So Keyshawn Hayes, let me go to it. Keyshawn Hayes gets. Keyshawn Hayes finished with only 2 points, Tommy. So let's see. If he takes sixth, he's probably at. Ten-ish points, I think, somewhere around there.
Yeah. So that one hurts too.
That one hurts pretty bad.
I'm done reviewing this.
Tommy, we should make a list of all the ways that Ohio State could have won the tournament.
Not a nice guy.
50 of them, at least.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so my man Kyle Connell ruins the tournament for the state of Ohio. Mike Machiavello wins.
From Ohio.
Beats Jared Haught in the finals. Jared Haught pinned Ben Darmstadt in the semis. Was that also a body lock? I mean, because the Colin Moore was a body lock. I think that was a body lock as well.
I don't know.
Okay. A rather unexciting weight class. Hopefully this weight class gets better next year. I think it will. All right, and we're on to heavyweight.
What else is there to say, my brother?
Well, I think the only thing that we get to tell, Amar Desi came back and took third. I think that's fairly interesting. I think that's something that people didn't expect. And Sam Stoll beat Nick Nevels, another thing that I don't think a lot of people expected.
Jacob Casper hitting a headlock and drilling Stoll's head into the center core of the earth is also a topic.
Okay, but the real topic at this weight class, obviously, Kyle Snyder over Adam Kuhn. What did you think? Let me ask you about this. What did you think about Kyle Snyder only decisioning Derek White 6-3 and only decisioning Jacob Casper 10-5? What did you think about that?
I think he was actually kind of saving some juice a little bit.
Really?
But
that's interesting. Does Kyle Snyder know how to do that? I thought he was just all out all the time.
I think that's true. I also think that the White match was closer than the Casper match. The White match kind of surprised me. I was a little too close for comfort. So I don't know what was going on there. Actually, I'm not really sure, man.
Okay. So he gets it done in the finals. Gets Kyle.
What do you think of Kuhn's strategy to go for broke and hit some shots?
I probably wouldn't have done it. You know, I mean, I know he said he wanted to go out.
I respect the decision, but I don't think it was the right decision.
Absolutely not. I mean, you know, he said something like, "I wanted to go out on my own terms," or I don't remember if that was the exact words he used. It was something to that effect. And it's like, yeah, but the point is to win the match, Adam. And frankly, shooting is something you're not great at. I mean, that's not his strong suit. Upper body's his strong suit. He's got some really good go-behinds. He's got great hips. Shooting's not your strong suit. And very few people, on top of that, shoot successfully against Kyle Snyder. So it's like,
I will say, Ben, I will say that I can empathize with his issues, though. When I wrestled in the clinch era only, and I would say over a dozen times I unnecessarily and foolishly attacked my opponent with 15 seconds to go because I couldn't stand the thought of going to the clinch.
Well, Tommy, but that's I don't know. I think that's different than this situation. It's not bad
because I thought way more about this than I care to admit since my career ended.
No, Tommy, you're being too hard on yourself. I think you're being way too hard on yourself.
No, here's the thing. A clinch is 50-50.
No, it's not. A clinch is not 50-50. That's wrong.
What is it?
The clinch is based on a coin flip, which you can't you can't control whatsoever. And if you lose the coin flip, I know what you're saying with the coin, but here's the thing: you can't control that part of it. And it's not like it's if you win, it's 50-50, and if you lose, it's 50-50. Tommy, if you lose a coin flip, you're losing, like almost guaranteed. Almost guaranteed you lose it. It's like 90-some% was the actual statistic.
And if you win, it's almost guaranteed you're winning.
But then you're basing on a thing you can't control. And who wants to base something on they can't control?
Right.
So
okay, so that makes more sense. But even still, a coin flip is a 50-50 proposition. There's a lot of times where I took shots at the end of the period that was less than 50%.
You think it was less than 50-50? That's interesting.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, sometimes it wasn't, right? Because sure. I set up the shot the correct way. But it's like, I remember saying this, I'm going no matter what. I remember saying that. And
okay.
That was dumb. Because you wrestle to win the match. You don't wrestle.
Sure.
You don't wrestle to get, I mean, I guess on paper you would love to win in the most dignified manner known to man. But the real objective is to win, and you shouldn't get caught up into the dignity of how you win. As long as it's within the rules, and
that's
where Coons, that's where he got a little bit too righteous on that. But I've been there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair. So I don't know that those are 1,000% the same thing, but I get what you're getting at. I wouldn't have taken that shot. I would have continued. You know, Kyle's not going to ride him. That's a damn near guarantee, right?
Yep.
And so you got 2 30-second periods where you could try to stall ride Kyle, which you probably don't have a great chance of doing that, but you could possibly do it. And he ain't going to ride you, so you're almost guaranteed that 1 point there. And then you have another 2 minutes where you can try to get to a better position than a shot. You know, you could try to get to your lock or your front headlock or something like that where you're more likely to score than you are by shooting it on.
Yeah, I guess I was kind of surprised, and I don't know if Bormet and McFarland were a part of this strategy, but I would be surprised if they said, Adam, that sounds good. Hit some knee over toes to try to win the match.
Yeah, I would also be surprised
I don't, you know what I mean?
No, absolutely. I totally agree.
All
right, Tommy. Hey, I hate to cut it short, but I got to run. I got to go to practice. I think we got some new kids signing up today. And I got two practices to run. We got a week till we're going to USA Nationals this weekend. We're going to Flow the weekend for that. So we got some serious business to take care of.
All right, dude. Have a good one. Defense Soap, thank you for everything. I saw Guy Steak over the weekend. I thanked him for us, Ben. So
I appreciate that.
All right, brother.
All right, Tommy. Have a great day.
Bye.
You are listening to the T-Row and Funky Show brought to you by Defend Soap. Defend what you have built.